We hear of the persecuted, and we pray for them. And what is our prayer? That God would pull them away from that persecution. Yet here in Acts, we find God pushing Paul into persecution for one major goal and one major reason: to be a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. We're in Acts chapter 21. We'll be looking at verses 27 through chapter 22 and verse 22. We are His witnesses. Sometimes God will use unusual circumstances to allow for witnessing. With more and the reading of God's Word, here's Pastor Chris with today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
Let's give our attention this morning to the wonderful, inspired Word of the Lord, beginning at verse 27. When the 7 days were almost completed, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who is teaching everyone, everywhere, against the people and the law in this place. Moreover, he even brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place. For they had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, with him in the city, and they supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple. Then all the city was stirred up, and the people ran together. They seized Paul and dragged him out of the temple, and at once the gates were shut. And as they were seeking to kill him, word came to the tribune of the cohort that all Jerusalem was in confusion. He at once took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the tribune and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then the tribune came up and arrested him and ordered him to be bound with two chains. He inquired who he was and what he had done. Some in the crowd were shouting one thing, some another. And as he could not learn the facts because of the uproar, he ordered him to be brought into the barracks. And when he came to the steps, he was actually carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the crowd. For the mob of the people followed, crying out, "Away with him!" As Paul was about to be brought into the barracks, he said to the tribune, "May I say something to you?" And he said, "Do you know Greek? Are you not the Egyptian then who recently stirred up a revolt and led 4,000 men of the assassins out into the wilderness?" Paul replied, "I'm a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no obscure city. I beg you, permit me to speak to the people." And when he had given him permission, Paul, standing on the steps, motioned with his hand to the people. And when there was a great hush, he addressed them in the Hebrew language, saying, "Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you." And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew language, they became even more quiet. And he said, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are this day. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. As I was on the way and drew near to Damascus, about noon a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me, and I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' I answered, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said to me, 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting.' Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?' And the Lord said to me, 'Rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do.' And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said to me, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that very hour I received my sight and saw him. And he said, 'The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name.' When I had returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance. and saw him, saying to me, 'Make haste to get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me.' And I said, 'Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him.' And he said to me, 'Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles.'" Up to this word, they listened to him. Then they raised their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live." And as they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, the tribune ordered him to be brought into the barracks, saying that he should be examined by flogging to find out why they were shouting against him like this. We'll stop there, the reading of God's word. I want to, next time, there's a whole separate section in how Paul here handles himself before the Romans, and how we notice here he handles himself before the Jews, and that next section needs its own treatment. So we're going to focus here on the section that I read in Paul's testimony. As I came to this section in my studies last week, I knew that I had to keep in front of me the reason and asking the question, why did the Holy Spirit inspire this, and why does the Holy Spirit want us to know this? You always have to do that when you're preaching a biblical text, to try to get at and understand the main purpose and value that it has for us living in 2019. It's an important question and an important thing that we have to consider. What is the purpose? These are not just a simple collection of details so that we would stand in awe over it and be interested in it, just finding it interesting without applying these things directly to us. And I believe then you have to understand that the particular situation that Paul found himself in this first century was defending and giving defense for what was known as a religion that was being outlawed, a vicious attempt to outlaw the religion in the empire. Outlaw it in Rome. Christians, of course, did not accept that because they believed very clearly that their beliefs, everything that we have believed and taught, is the fulfillment of everything that God had promised to Abraham. The fulfillment that came through Jesus of Nazareth. But the Jews slandered them. The Jews wanted to pitch them as a novel religion, as a religion that has no history, and Rome loved antiquity. And if they could put it out early, then this whole thing would be over with. But as I looked at this particular passage and thought about the purpose for this, it's really an important purpose for the church today, because this is meant for the church to look at and to study and to think about how we are to handle ourselves under times of persecution. It's a really important thing to think about. How are we to handle ourselves in a changing culture and a time where Christianity is no longer being accepted, is being ridiculed and shamed and made to look stupid? And as I've constantly seen and talked to people, what you're going to see in the future is either a mass exodus out of Christianity by some, right? And then you'll see others really starting to take seriously what Christianity is. For in this country, too much of it has been show. Intending here then is Luke is intending to help us and encourage the church that the accusations that are often made, even legally against us, are groundless. The accusations that are made against us, even if it comes to legislation, are groundless. And that we have always been good citizens of the state, so far as our conscience and our obedience and convictions regarding the Word of God allow us, right? But it's showing us what the heart of the issue is and why we are often so offensive to this world. Why is Christianity been throughout history, right here in this particular time, and why today? Why is it so offensive to the world? We have to think through that. And there's really one answer that this text shows us. It over and over again is the offense of the cross. I hope by the end you see that. It's the offense of the cross. How then, if that is the heart of it, are we to conduct ourselves in changing times and when the culture rises up against us? That's this particular passage. So you see how important this is. In the first century, the Christians were already facing it. Out of the gates, they were facing these problems. Out of the gates, they were facing these attacks. And as Christianity is more on its way to being outlawed, as it was in their time, and you never know what the future holds in our day, what can we expect? What are we to do? Are we merely trying as Christians to keep our rights and our freedoms? Is that what our great purpose is here? I want us to think about this because this is a passage about purpose. It's a passage about why we're here. It's a passage when Jesus prayed the high priestly prayer and said, I pray that you don't take them out of the earth, but that you keep them from the evil one. This is the reason Jesus prayed that and what it looks like that we're kept in the earth. So that's why Paul's trial and imprisonment here is important to study, because it gives us purpose in times like this. It gives us help in times like this. We have to see that everything that comes upon us, as Paul looked at it, even when we stand back and look at this mess and say, what are you doing? Why are you going there? This got you nowhere, was the greatest opportunity for him. That's how Paul looked at it. Everything that happened was opportunity. It was not retreat. It was not to silence us. It was opportunity to speak.
Well, Pastor Chris will be back in a moment to continue our time together today here on Abounding Grace. We wanted to stop just for a moment to let you know of a Ligonier conference coming here to Escondido. If the Foundations Are Destroyed is the title of the conference. It takes place May 13th through the 14th. You know, sometimes it can seem that Christians are standing on unsteady ground while the world seeks to dismantle the foundations of our faith. Compromise threatens the church from within. In times of turmoil, Scripture reminds us where our true security lies, in our sovereign God, whose throne can never be moved. Keynote speakers include W. Robert Godfrey, Burke Parsons, Derek Thomas, and our own Pastor Chris Gordon. Again, that's May 13th through the 14th. Simply go to ligonier.org. Click the menu tab on the left-hand side and scroll down to events. Again, ligonier.org. And now once again, here's Pastor Chris as we continue our time together today here on Abounding Grace.
We have to see that everything that comes upon us, as Paul looked at it, even when we stand back and look at this mess and say, what are you doing? Why are you going there? This got you nowhere, was the greatest opportunity for him. That's how Paul looked at it. Everything that happened was opportunity. It was not retreat. It was not to silence us. It was opportunity to speak. And that's what I want to explore here as we look at Paul's arrest and Paul's defense. Just 2 points this morning, arrest and defense. In the last section, we study what happened to the apostle when he came to Jerusalem. There was this ugly scene here of the Jerusalem believers with James, and raising a major concern of Paul's, what they viewed as anti-Jewishness, and his attack of them being Jewish. Especially as he was instructing the Jews of the diaspora out there not to do certain things. They were hearing things, they were hearing rumors, and they had a sort of confrontation about it here at the first part of Acts chapter 21. Rumors were everywhere that Paul had thrown out Moses, that Paul had thrown out circumcision, the law, and all the customs of Israel that made them, which was the challenge we looked at last time, that made them Jews in many ways. So they had come up with a plan for Paul. Here's what you're going to do. These four guys have taken the Nazarite vow. They're going to shave their heads in taking that vow. This is an Old Testament ceremonial thing. They're going to take this vow, and then they're going to go in, they're going to shave their heads, and they're going to go into the temple, and they're going to perform cleansings in the temple, and you're going to do it. You're going to go, you're going to take a part of this, you're going to pay for it, you're going to give the offering that is required, and you're going to show to everyone and prove to everyone that everything that is said of you is not true. And we were stunned last time that he did it. It's a fascinating moment, and I won't go back into all of that, but it's just fascinating. So here we are in the temple, and somebody said to me last week, "Pastor, he had to have been preaching in there as he's doing these sacrifices." Now, that's not what that means, you understand. This means Jesus. I'm totally convinced he was preaching in there. Paul didn't keep his mouth shut. Pastors don't. You know that. Here's what happened. In verse 27, when the 7 days were almost completed, we're in the temple, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man." He had the audacity to come in here. This is the man who is teaching everywhere. Everyone, everywhere, against the people and the law and this place. The first thing I want you to notice here is that, really, those were all lies. Those were all lies. It's really important to say that. Those were all lies. James had said these rumors are being said about you everywhere. The worst part about it is they're twisting it. They're not listening to what the apostle taught. They weren't giving careful. This is, I think, why Jesus was so strong in saying to people, take heed how you hear. People will hear whatever they want to hear. Take heed how you hear. They were twisting this with the goal of silencing him, saying that you're against the law of God. That's not true, of course. Paul was never against the law of God. Paul was always preaching the basic truth of the Christian message, that in terms of your justification before God, there's nothing that you can do to be righteous with him. And they were taking that and saying, see, you're against the law. You're against what the law says. And Paul, of course, never said he was against the law. He even wrote in Romans, do we throw out the law? No, we establish the law. It's our way of thanking the Lord, but it's not a way of justifying us before God. No one on that day is going to say, listen, I did good enough. I did good enough to make it into glory. My heart was good. Bible says no. Everywhere. So you can't be justified by the law, is what Paul said. But that's not what being spun here. You'll notice you're against the law, the temple, and the people. So this is, Paul is anti-law, furthest thing from the truth. He's anti-temple, which was also the furthest thing from the truth. He just preached what the fulfillment of the temple is. It's Jesus. You've been doing that everywhere. You're anti our people. His heart bled for these people. None of it's true. None of it's true. Why is he preaching? He loved them. He loved them. This is hard. This is hard. Why? Because it's not so different today. How is culture beginning to pitch Christian views? How is culture characterizing us? You're against LGBT people. We're already nervous even saying that anymore, right? The name. You're against homosexual people. You're against women. We're not. We're not. I'm not against these people. I'm not against sinners. Because I'm one. I'm the chief. Not against any of them. We're not against them. Our hearts have deep concern. That's why we have ministry. Because I need to be saved and they need to be saved. That's why we're here. That's why we're doing this. We're not against people. We're called to love even our enemies. What we're saying, as Paul said, is that there are practices and ways of life that people have determined to do and that we have had to come out of ourselves that are against God's law, and that is not the way that anyone can be delivered in this life. That's what we say. And that there is only one way of salvation, and it's through Jesus. It's through faith, and it's through repentance in Jesus. As we believe the gospel, as we turn away from ourselves and our own righteousness and look to Jesus for salvation, you can be saved. And I can say with a clear conscience, and I hope you can say with a clear conscience today, I want that for everyone. Wouldn't it be absolutely wonderful if everyone were saved? Penn Teller, who's no model, even said at one point, I could never imagine a more cruel thing that he's not a believer. That if someone really believes people are going to hell for this reason or that reason, and they say absolutely nothing, I could never imagine anything more cruel. What has society labeled this as? Hate speech. All of it. The pain of it is, it's not hate. It's love. But here's what makes matters worse. We then are identified with those who bring the most offense to these agendas. We've got people doing crazy things out there. Did you notice what they did to Paul? Are you not that Egyptian assassin? Who is that? Well, some guy who had led a revolt. And he had got away. And they were still looking for him. And they thought Paul was the guy. What does the culture want to do? Lump us all together with the most extreme radicals that do stupid things. I just saw a pastor lost his job because he put on the church sign, "Bruce Jenner is a man." I'm sorry, that's just stupid and obnoxious. If I went out here single-handedly and started putting signs up out here doing that, you need to grab me, okay? And you need to deal with me. That's not wise. That's putting a target. So the pain of it is that these things aren't true. But you see, all this stuff's happening. All these twists are happening in the culture. When something's turning against Christianity, this is what's going on. So this is what they do. Moreover, he even brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place. For they had previously seen Trophimus the Ephesian with them in the city. And they supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple. That's a lie. That was being spread about him. Paul knew not to purposely offend this way. Paul knew not to take a Gentile into the upper courts. There's the court of the Gentiles. He didn't do that. They linked Paul with the person they viewed as the most defiled. So what have they done? They've bore false witness.
Well, this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Our hope and prayer is you've been encouraged by today's program. If you would like to take advantage of many of the resources we have available on our website, might I suggest paying us a visit? agradio.org. Videos hosted by Pastor Chris, articles written by Pastor Chris, past radio programs are housed there as well. Again, agradio.org. Plus, it's a great place to give tax-deductible donations to the radio ministry, as it is through those donations that we're able to continue on this radio station. Again, agradio.org. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. Questions? Address them to questions@agradio.org. And don't forget, when you visit agradio.org, you'll find links to our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts as well. Once again, here's Pastor Chris with a look ahead to tomorrow's program.
There's a vicious attempt of Christians today to get justice. It's all about establishing my rights and fighting for every injustice against me under the sun so that others can be established over the oppression. It's all theology of glory now. Is that God's purpose for us? Is it? Who was just beaten? Paul was just beaten, flogged. You know what Paul looks like right now? Who? Jesus. Sometimes I think we so much want to justify what we're trying to do in the face of charges and attacks that we're always running around defending ourselves and not realizing that the attacks on us are not the issue. The oppressions against us are not the issue. All of it, hear me, is a masking of the real attack on the gospel. All of it is masking the real attack on the gospel. And we're so narcissistic, it's all about us fighting for our little rights. The hatred for us is designed by God for a greater purpose. And the attacks on us have a bigger purpose in the plan of God. I'm not saying we should never seek for justice when people harm us. The next section, Paul will use it. Trust me, I'm going to show you that. We're not pacifists. But we have to know how to turn the other cheek for a good reason. What is it? We're looking like Jesus.
That's tomorrow here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Until then, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.